You want to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 22. We're going to be there in just a few moments, but this summer we're going to be doing a series in our Summer Bible Institute entitled Crises of Our Day. You know, a crisis is something that has the potential to destroy, ruin, change in a negative way the norm of perhaps your family, perhaps your personal life, perhaps a nation. It's something that you have to be aware of. But in this day, there have been a lot of crises that have been put forth as being real, and some of them are just manufactured to fit the time, to fit an agenda that somebody's trying to do. And so we're going to be looking at this summer several different ones. I'm going to be beginning today the one called Equal Rights, which really is a misnomer. Because what they're talking about is not equal rights, but special rights. There's a big difference between the two. And we want to look at God's Word. We're going to look where the Bible shows us that we should claim rights that have been given to us by God. We're going to look at several examples. The Apostle Paul claimed his rights as a Roman citizen. We're going to look at some others. Solomon's situation with the two mothers. You had the one mother claiming her right to her own child that had been stolen in the night because the other one had been smothered. You have these different things that are put forth in God's Word. But I want us to look a little bit at some of the crises that are put forward today that are considered to be very serious. First of all, equal rights. You have socialism. All right. Boy, this is being just pushed down our throat. Matter of fact, this week we heard that they're having a massive meeting with Senator Bernie Sanders, and he's going to put forth why America must move to socialism in order to survive. Now, I want to tell you something. If socialism is the answer, why hasn't it worked in all the other countries that have moved to socialism? All right? Why hasn't it worked there? But somehow in our minds today, especially in the intelligentsia and the college and university level, the theory always trumps reality. Are you listening to me? Theory always trumps reality. No pun intended, by the way, using the word Trump there. Reality doesn't matter. It's the theory. That's why what is accepted today? Evolution? That's a theory. But it's accepted as reality, fact. And if you don't follow it and you don't believe it, you're a backward hick that doesn't know anything and you really don't deserve to live. You should be locked up somewhere because you don't believe in evolution. But theory has become reality. So we have the socialism thing, public education, the right of every child to be educated by the government, all right? Government education, which in reality is nothing more than brainwashing to accept a certain agenda, all right? Well, let's just face it what it is. Our kids go off to school and they're given sex education at age 1 and 2, and now they're being taught that they ought to question their gender. Don't listen to your parents. Your parents have forced you to accept what your body tells you you are, but you don't have to be that if you don't want to. And we've got doctors that can take care of you and they can change you into whatever you want to be. The only problem is no studies have been done and they're already seeing the suicide rate go through the roof. It's going through the roof. I'm not making this stuff up. We are watching. I'm going to share some statistics with you today about this very thing. Public education, abortion. Oh my goodness, how horrible those people in Alabama, those backward hicks that dared to take away the right of a woman to kill a baby if she wants to because she's in charge of her body. Well, it just stands to reason. You know, in 1973, we didn't have all the different things. We knew what was right because the Bible tells us. Bible tells us that in conception is the beginning of life, all right? But we live in a time now where we don't deal with reality. And yet when you show a teenager a video of what an actual abortion really is. They break down, they start crying. They've never been told that. They've just been told a line that's been repeated over and over and over again in a child's mind that a woman has the right to choose whether she wants to kill her baby or not. And now they're teaching in the public school system, in sociology classes, in high school, that suicide is an option. Okay? It's happening. It's happening in the curriculum. It's happening as a possibility. You know, your life's not going too well. You can take your life. Did you hear about the teenage girl this week that took her life? It happened in a Scandinavian country where she had been raped when she was 12 and she couldn't deal with it. So she went to the government and got permission to have assisted suicide. And so a doctor plugged her all up, and within a few minutes, she was off into eternity. All right, this is what's happening. It's happening in Europe right now. It's been happening in Norway for some time, assisted suicide, where people, they get to a point where they're too old, they can't care for themselves, all right? Get two or three people to sign off, and you're gone. Because you may not be able to think correctly, all right? So euthanasia has become a problem today. And it is something that's embedded in the minds of children when they're small, that these are options. Okay? Let's go on. It's kind of hard to see, but social media. Oh, how that has changed the world. Social media. My son was telling me about a former student of our school that made a profession of faith in Christ this past year. And the first thing that he noticed was his Instagram account was cleaned up. He had all kinds of vile stuff on there, and whenever he got saved, all of a sudden his social media changed. Isn't that what the gospel does? Now, how is it that we can think, well, it's all right for a Christian to have smut all over their social media, and they're a Christian? And yet this young man came to know Jesus Christ, and the first thing that he did was clean up his social media. Isn't that interesting? We've got all things all muddled up. Social media is a crisis today because people don't know how to use it. What they do is they use it as a way to hurt other people. This is what they do. They'll stand behind their little thing and they'll just trash somebody. Trash, 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 and step away from it. And nobody holds them to account. Nobody holds them to account. Now we've got this movement. Oh, we have got to stop all these bad conservatives that are posting things on social media. We've got to cancel them from being allowed to even go on there. You see how things get turned upside down? This is a crisis. Climate concern. Now, here's one that has generated a lot of nonsense. And it's being pushed, but the data doesn't back it up. So you know what they've been doing? They found out, the Nobel Committee found out recently that some of their laureates that had been talking about climate change had changed and fudged the numbers. And it was brought before them, hey, this is all a fraud here. We have to do some of these things in order to alert the public to the serious concerns. Not everybody's taking it seriously, so we have to do those kind of things. We're lying. And it's acceptable. Now, climate does change. You know, it's a lot warmer right now than it was in January. Everybody agree? It was kind of cold in January. It's a lot warmer right now. Now, we have had regularly occurring weather patterns since creation. Okay, since creation. They're finding in the ice packs of the Arctic tropical plants frozen in time. I had to get there. At one time, that ice was what? Water. All right? So obviously, there's been an ice age, there's been a warming trend. We see these regularly occurring type things. We had a pattern there back in the late 90s and early 2000s where we were having a lot of hurricanes coming through. And boy, they were hollering, oh, climate change is happening all the time. And then you go into a period where you don't have as many. It's a regular cyclical type thing with the weather systems. Joe, I think his name is Lombardi or whatever. He used to work for AccuWeather. And he has been one that has been criticized up and down. But he puts data out there. He spends his time. He earned his PhD in climate understandings. And he went back all the way to the beginning of records, and he started to write, compare them. And he said, we've been in a regular cycle since records were being, we've been in a regular cycle. You'll see this decade is very active in the tropics. Then the following one will not be so active. And then it'll be active again. And then you go back and forth. And he said, this is just something that happens on a regular basis. Oh, he's criticized. Oh, that's horrible. That's not science. Yes, it is. It's empirical. He's going back and taking data, and he's showing us what the facts are. Don't mess with the facts with us. We really know. It's all man-made. All right, what data do you have on that? Why are you asking? You know, give us the data. If it's true, then back it up with some data. They don't have any data. It's not science. Somebody's pushing an agenda. Okay? All right, lawlessness. Now, here's something that's real. This is a crisis. We're living in a day of lawlessness, and it starts with children in school, and it goes all the way up to adults. A lot of it's fueled by the drug culture, where people are so stoned out on methamphetamines and cocaine and heroin, and go down the list of all the different opioids that are out there. I mean, it's amazing. We have an opioid crisis in America right now. It's real. Where a mother in Ohio gets in her car after she shot herself up with an opioid. I don't even know what it was that she took. Halfway through her trip, she's passed out on the side of the road. Her car has drifted off the side, and in the back are three children. And she's completely and totally out of it. Okay? What would possess somebody to do that? The high is more important than living a real life. That's what it is. And so we do have some crises that are all around us. I want to give you the definition of what rights are. Now this, I believe, is one that I've kind of labored over. And I didn't copy anybody, but I think it's something that will be helpful to us. Rights are legal, social, or ethical principles of freedom or entitlement granted by God the Creator. All right? Granted by God the Creator. Rights are the fundamental normative rules about what is allowed of people or given to people according to Almighty God and recognized by mankind. The Constitution calls them what? Unalienable rights. Okay? They're recognized as being from God. Now, not everybody in the world accepts rights from God. Okay? There's a big push today to limit free speech. Now, there are already basic understandings of the limits of free speech. I can't run through this auditorium shouting, fire, 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 fire. If I did that and people were killed, being trampled to death, I'm going to jail. So there are limits to what we can say that are recognized, basic understandings. But to be able to speak our mind according to conscience comes from God. And the framers of the Constitution understood this. They accepted that. They saw that. So I think it's important for us to know what rights are. Because what that lists, which is kind of small in reality, has been expanded what our rights are. The right to universal health care. Is that really a right that has been given by God? You don't even see health care in any kind of modern form until, you know, the 1800s. You realize that George Washington died from being bled to death by a doctor. Everybody know that? 67 years of age, he died. And in reality, all he had was a serious cold. But they believed in bloodletting back in those days. All right? And so they just kept, we got to let more blood out. Let's let more blood out. We'll get the disease out, brother. Next thing you know, he's dead. Okay? So modern medicine, beginning somewhere around the late 1800s when they discovered germs and discovered that people were dying on battlefields because they were using dirty utensils in their surgeries, and it was the infections that were killing the men, not the actual surgery itself, began to realize things. And then the medical sciences, but to say that it's the right of everybody, that's a misnomer. You don't find that in the scriptures. All right? So let's move along. I want to give you a list of biblical examples of claiming rights. Biblical examples of claiming rights. Do you realize the Bible does have that in there? I think the biggest one that comes to my mind is in Acts chapter 22, where the Apostle Paul claimed his rights as a Roman citizen. All right? He had real rights as a Roman citizen. He was being abused, and so he spoke up. Let's go to that passage of Scripture that we find in Acts chapter 22, and I think it's beginning at verse 26, 25, excuse me. Look at verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by. Now notice, they're taking his liberty away by binding him. So what does he do? Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now what is he doing? He's claiming his right as a Roman citizen. I want to tell you something, American. It's all right to claim your rights as an American citizen. You better stand up for them. Because if you don't, they're going to be taken away from us. And you won't get them back. You realize the colonists and the battle that they had as their rights were trampled on as English citizens. Where the king said, you must quarter these troops in your house and you must feed them. And you must take care of their animals too. And here are these colonists. They don't know who these individuals are, but they're required to do that. They're required to pay higher taxes than the rest of the English citizens over in Europe. And so they began to realize our rights as citizens are not being recognized. As a matter of fact, whenever they sent John Adams over to see the king refused to see him. He had a list of grievances, and he stood outside the palace, and the king would not see him. And he was a citizen of Britain. He had all the rights. He was trying to stand up for his rights. So if you want to hear all those, oh, it was awful that the American colonists rose up against. They weren't having their rights recognized as British citizens. Okay? I got into it one time. We were in college and said, you know, the Bible says that we're to submit to authority. So, wait a minute. I agree with that statement. Except when that authority steps outside the bounds that God has given it. Then we got a problem. And when the British government refused to recognize the colonists as being British citizens and took away their rights, we got a problem. They're British citizens. And so they went about it the right way. They appealed to their government and they were denied. And so as a result of that, you have the American Revolution. And we've had freedom since 1787, whenever the Constitution was finally ratified, took effect in 1789. The Apostle Paul, he claimed his right as a Roman citizen. Notice, then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. This is what the captain said. I paid for my Roman citizenship. How about you? He said, I am freeborn. In other words, I'm a notch above you, buddy. Yeah, you got yours by paying for it. I got mine because I was freeborn. So this little debate going back and forth creates a situation here. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. In other words, they released him immediately. They didn't have to go get a writ, all right, habeas corpus or whatever to get him out of jail to stay with somebody. They just let him go because he was a Roman. He had rights. So Paul claimed his rights as a Roman citizen. Now, is this important to know from the Bible? I think so. Did you know that our early founding fathers studied this and that's how they understood these things? And the average American today can't even name the 10 amendments to the Constitution. The First Amendment has 5 rights included in it. Can you name them? I won't put you on the spot. But there are 5 of them. Freedom of religion. I like to put that one first. Freedom of religion. Freedom of speech. All right. Freedom of the press. Freedom to assemble. And the last one is freedom to petition my government if I've got a grievance. 5 of them. They're precious. And the average high schooler can't even name the 10 amendments, can't name the 5 rights that we have. Why? Because they're not being taught that. Why are they not being taught what our rights are as citizens? If you don't know what they are, then you won't mind if it's taken away. And it's taken away always under the guise of something good, like your security. You have a right to be secure! So we're going to take away these rights, blah, 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 so you can be secure. You know what your security is? You're going to get thrown in jail. And you'll be safe inside there, right? That doesn't cut it. Let's go on to Solomon. Here's one in 1 Kings chapter 3. We won't take time to look at it in that passage, but it's very familiar to us all, about the two mothers. And they both had babies. And one of them rolled over on top of the baby, very common in the Middle Eastern culture of that time for the child to sleep with the parent. She rolled over on top of the child, smothered it, and the child died. So what she did was switch the babies. Now, in my mind, I think most mothers know who their baby is. I just can't imagine not knowing. But they did the switch, and the mother realized, that's not my baby. The dead baby's not my baby. And the other mother, boy, she makes a big deal. Yeah, that's my baby. Yours is the one that died. So they bring the case before Solomon. And Solomon hears the case. And very wisely says, bring me my sword. Now, you know what he immediately appealed to? The real mother's going to want to spare that baby. Right? The real mother's going to spare that baby. And the real mother spoke up and said, please, don't kill. Let the other mother have, please don't kill that baby. And he gave the baby to the right mother. He knew who it was. Okay? What did she do to bring this case all the way up? Solomon was the Supreme Court. Right? He was king, lawgiver, and judge. So they brought it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And he hears the case. And he brings about a verdict that causes the real mother to step up and say, please don't kill my baby. Go ahead and give it to the other person. Don't kill the baby. And solves the case. She appealed, though, because it was her right as a mother to have her own child. We've all heard about, we talked about this in my Bible class this year with family life skills, about what they do in hospitals to make sure that the right baby doesn't be given to the wrong parent. Okay, can you imagine how horrible that would be? And I appreciated it when all of our kids were born. Boy, they went over there and they were checking. You know, they had those little beep. They're checking all those things, making sure this is the right baby. I want to compare it with your tag dad. Make sure. I mean, they wanted to be careful about that because there's been cases where they've had babies swapped and things of that nature because somebody wanted a girl, not a boy, so they worked it out. That's awful, the things that have happened in our society. But she appealed her case. Let's go on to another instance here. Daniel claimed his right to pray to his God above an edict of a king. I think that God included this for our admonition and learning in the Bible. Daniel heard the decree, and he went back to his house, and he did as he had done aforetime. Now, that doesn't take away the consequences, but it does communicate, I have a loyalty to God. And you make a law that goes against what I'm supposed to do as a believer in Christ, pray, you're not going to take that away from me. And so he stood for what said. They tried to get him to compromise. Just 30 days, Daniel. Don't pray for 30 days. That's all we're asking. It's not a big deal. It was a big deal. Now, today's Christianity is not a big deal. We're so shallow. We're a mile wide and an inch thick when it comes to our understanding of doctrine and so forth. So people compromise. But once you give up your moral authority and compromise it, can you get it back? No. You know, if I preach against drinking, and I'm secretly out partying and drinking and so forth like that, what is my moral authority at that point when I get caught? None. What else is he doing? That's the first thing that comes to mind. What else is he doing? If he preached so hard against drinking and he's over here dabbling in it and drinking, what else is he doing? Your moral authority is erased at that moment. Do you realize that preachers and a lot of leaders don't understand that? They don't understand that. Joe Biden is learning that this week. Did you see what happened? He has been an advocate of the Hyde Amendment since it came out. He voted for it, okay? Which says this. The Hyde Amendment says that no Medicaid or Medicare funding is to pay for an abortion. He was supporting it up through last week. And somebody got a hold of him and said, you won't be elected president if you keep supporting the Hyde Amendment. So he came out and said, I no longer support the Hyde Amendment. It's killing him. When he reaches the general election, they're going to see him as a flip-flopper. I honestly just don't see him making it through. He is under the gun right now. He's having to be push, left. You know what he's lost? Nobody's talking about this, but he's lost his moral authority. If we can push him away so easily from something that he's held all these years, if we can push him away, what else can we do? Because obviously he doesn't have any moral authority. I'm going to tell you, parents and grandparents and teachers and leaders of schools and whatever position you are in, your moral authority is the most precious thing you possess. Because you see, your name is attached to it. Your name is attached to it. Your moral authority. If you're lying to your kids, it's just... I had a dad out here at the ballpark, and he was smoking, and I told him, I said, you got to put that out or go to your car. You cannot be smoking. And oh, yes, sir, he threw it down and stomped it out. He said, I'm teaching my kids not to smoke. That just rolled right out. I'm teaching my kids not to smoke. And I said, you know what? They will smoke. They will smoke. And I said, they see their daddy doing it. That's all they need to see. They will smoke. I said, I can just go down the list of all the people that I've heard over the years that said, you know, I'm not teaching this to my kid, but you are teaching it by the way you live. You'd understand that. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't think that. They're not saturated with that kind of a mindset. And they give their moral authority away. Give their moral authority away until it's all gone and you can't get it back. You can't get it back. Liberty. The American experiment. Even the Declaration of Independence mentions certain unalienable rights. Okay? What are three that are listed in the Declaration of Independence? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right? Life. What is being taken away in America since 1973? Sanctioned killing of babies. Do you realize now that the population of America is almost 70 million less than it would have been? Those are all taxpayers. Those are all people that serve in the service industry. And now they say, oh, we've got to balance that loss in numbers to immigration. And what does immigration do? Immigration always changes the temperament of the country. All you have to do is ask the leaders of England. Well, I had a long talk with Ian Jameson about that, about how England has changed. It's so different. He said, it's amazing how you walk along the streets of England and you see Arabic on the signs. He said, you never saw that before, but now you see Arabic up there. And you'll see several different languages in the subways. Used to be just one, English. But it's changed. It always does. Now, I thank God for the opportunities that we have in America to witness to these people, because they're coming to us. And we'll give them the gospel. But it does change your country. It's just something you have to understand and know. You think about how our country changed when the immigration of all those people groups started pouring in the 1850s through the 1890s, and how it changed the temperament of our country. I'm part Irish, so I can speak. What did the Irish bring with them when they came to America? They left because of the potato blight in 1849, 1850, somewhere around in that. You know, hundreds of thousands of them came over. What did they bring with them? They brought their love of whiskey. Okay? And guess what happened in Chicago? Yeah? The Italians said, hey, the Irish love whiskey. Let's take over the market so we can make our money. And it happened in New York City and all the major metropolitan areas, and our nation changed. And then we have the big prohibition. We've got to stop this. You have the big prohibition move. Did that work? No, it didn't. It failed miserably. You can't legislate righteousness. You know what they were doing? They were making speedboats in New York that would go out there and hit the ships that were coming in with all the alcohol. And they were sneaking it in. You have the speakeasies, and you have all those underground bars and so forth like that that had trap doors and hidden vaults and all those kind of things that happened to get by with their sin. And we had brought it right into the country. We brought it in with people. All right, so I'm not blaming all the Irish. Obviously, there are other people groups that like alcohol too. But it's how immigration changes society. We have to understand that. These rights are granted by God, and the rights which belong to us and which must not be taken for granted, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The original purpose of our government was to secure and protect these basic rights. Now, did you get that? To secure and protect these basic rights. And what's happening today? We're not securing these basic rights, and we're eroding life, and we're eroding liberty. And thereby, with the loss of those first two, you can't have the pursuit of happiness. Do I hear an amen? You can't have the pursuit of happiness if you don't have life and you don't have liberty. You see, the third one is based on the first two. This kind of teaching needs to be drilled into our children. Drilled into our children so they can have an understanding. And where did the finders find this? They found it in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 30. God is our king, our lawgiver, and our judge. And you know what they use that for? The three branches of government. God is our lawgiver. God is our king. He's our monarch. He's our leader, executive branch. He is our judge, judicial branch. You have the three things based upon the Scripture. We could go through lots of other passages of Scripture. Creator. It was the Bible that gave our founders their general consensus of Judeo-Christian monotheism. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. All men. It was the Bible that gave them such a strong sense of the importance of the individual, every individual. And we read that in Isaiah 45, 23 and Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. We don't have time to look up all these different passages, but these are where the framers of the Constitution and those that were involved in the early founding of our country received this understanding. Life. It was the Bible that taught them the sacredness of human life. Oh, how important it is. Do you realize that the Islamic faith has no regard for human life? No regard. It's nothing to kill somebody. All it takes is two Muslim individuals, men, to bring an accusation. It's brought before a judge or an imam, and they can go out and execute. It doesn't take much. Life. Liberty. It was the Bible that ingrained in them deeply the emancipatory theme of liberty for the captives, Luke 4 and verse 16, that runs through the whole of redemption history. The whole story of redemption, folks, is Jesus Christ coming and shedding His blood. that the slaves and those that were in bondage to sin would be delivered and made fit for heaven. That's liberty. Liberty. That's what salvation brings. And so it was that principle that was involved in the understanding. And I've got, it's hard to read here. Actually, that was green. I don't know what happened to the color. It's yellow now. But thank God for the United States of America, because this country was built upon the framers' understanding of the Bible. That's why you don't see in the Constitution Bible verses and things, because they assume that everybody understood that these things that are shared come from the Bible. But now, today, when we look at, oh, they didn't refer to the Bible. There's not one Bible reference in there. But the principles are there. The principles are there. Let's move on. Here's an illustration. When people demand certain rights which they are not entitled to, this results in bondage. When you start claiming rights that are not you're not entitled to. For instance, here's a new right that's been put forth in the last decade. The right not to be offended. Is that really a right that we're entitled to? No! But it's being pushed forward. It's being pushed up to the top of the things that we talk about in the media all the time. Oh, that's offensive. You have no right to offend some other person that's a Muslim or a Jew or something like that to give them the gospel. Who do you think you are? You're offending them. They have a right not to be offended. But that's not one of our unalienable rights. Freedom does not mean doing what you want to do without restriction. Could we all settle, understand that? Freedom does not mean that I can do whatever I want to without any restrictions. That would not be freedom, that would be bondage, because you would be hurting other people in the process. Let's take the illustration of a freeway. All right, we all like to drive on the road. We like our independence as Americans. Brother Ian was saying, he said, I got pulled over. The first week that he was here, he got pulled over because of the fact that he pulled in and was driving on the wrong side. Okay? And he said, I was so confused. Your steering wheel is on the left-hand side. It's on the right-hand side in England. And he said, I just got confused and I whipped over, got in that lane, and there was a cop that was sitting right over in the parking lot. This was down on Park Avenue area. And he just pulled right behind me. And he said, I pulled over, and he said, I pulled out my English license and said, I'm here in America, I'm a missionary. And he said the guy was really nice to him, didn't give him a ticket or whatever, but he said, just a reminder, we drive on the right side of the road, okay? Our steering wheel is on the left, but we drive on the right, okay? So you got it, you're going to have to get that down or you're going to see more of people like me. And he kind of made a big joke out of it. Ian, of course, loved every minute of it. But we're driving down the road. Cars can move at high speed without interruption because there are laws in place. Now, you might say 45 is not high speed, okay? But if you're somebody that's trying to turn into David's catfish house, and you're in that right lane and you're trying to pull, you're mighty thankful for that 45-mile-an-hour speed limit, because some ding-dong may be coming at 70, and you're trying to pull in and turn right at David's catfish house, slamming on the brakes because he can't get over. He needs a ticket. He's not driving the speed limit. There are turnoffs on roads, and that means people have to slow down. That's why there's two lanes, so you can move over to the left lane and go around. But today we live with people that don't know the rules of the road. I just love McKenzie Motors, that turnoff there. It reveals every ding-dong driver we have in Milton. Okay? They pull up. Here's the turn. They got a crick in their neck. Turn like this. And they got this whole lane that goes down to infinity. All they got to do is just keep on going, and then they can pull over into that lane. But no, I'm going to McDonald's. And because I'm going to McDonald's, all 55 cars behind me are going to have to wait till both lanes are stopped. And then I can pull across the road. and go to McDonald's. Okay? Now, do you know how many cutoffs there are on Highway 90 that will get you to McDonald's? Go down. You may not be able to make the first one. Okay? Ooh. Go to the second one that does a little loop and goes right back to McDonald's. Yeah, but Bubba might beat me down there and get a hamburger before I do. Well, let Bubba have his hamburger. Okay? But you're holding up 55 people behind you, waiting for the right light to turn red for that, those two lanes so you can pull out and go to McDonald's. Learn the rules of the road. Okay? Laws are important. Our freedom to move is dependent upon the obedience of everyone to those laws. You know, you would think that we lived in New York City with the number of ambulances and sirens that you hear all day long in Milton. Isn't it amazing? As soon as it rains, I know within 5 minutes there's going to be sirens in Milton. Shower comes up. All right, I'm listening. And somebody has slid through the red light that they weren't paying attention because they were texting and driving. Slide out of the middle of traffic, crash, boom, bang. Wreckers, ambulances, everything, you know, because it rained. Not obeying the laws, not paying attention. So, that's why we have wrecker services. Our time is gone, and we'll pick up with this. Dr. Watt's going to be here for the next 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks, and then I'll be back with you again to talk about this matter of rights. There are unalienable rights, okay? Rights given by God. But you got to protect them. And you can't be constantly amending them and adding to them all these kind of rights that we think that we ought to have. We have to look out the ones that God has given to us and hold on to those. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look at your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a thinking people, a biblically thinking people. Lord, we live in the day and age where we just sit down and we just accept whatever anybody says. Lord, help our people to be Bereans that get their Bibles out and study it for themselves so they can know what's right and do it. And we pray your blessings upon the morning worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.